Thank you. Does this sound like I'm in the bath?
No.
Oh, it sounds like it to me, so that's all right. Oh, ha ha. Right. So the title, it's just a very short kind of introduction to hopefully some practical and some praise and some worship and some release the presence of God. And I've used this just earlier on this week, and I'm going to use it again maybe at the end of the week. So I just thought I'd use this little introduction. And David just said, was going to be speaking on preparing to be a worshipper. So that's kind of what it is. But I sense that this is a very mature church who already know how to worship quite naturally. So I don't kind of want to teach grandmother to suck eggs. So forgive me if I say some very obvious things. It's very short. But this is just also something that the Lord's put on my heart. So he brought me to look at Revelation 9, verse 7 and 8 this morning. It's just a couple of little verses, but it talks about making the bride making herself ready. And I think that as we worship, as we exalt the Lord and put him first as the King of Kings, so his bride, so we become more cleaned up, more pure, more ready for him. And you know, several people, we were talking about it last evening, are sensing there's such an urgency of, we're coming to enormous times in the seasons of heaven, the seasons of God. We're coming to massive times. And what God wants is the church and his bride to be ready. And I think this is a season for that real purity of worship, breaking through, nothing else getting in the way. We're so a society that worships so many gods, and he just wants that to, he wants us gradually to topple each god. So that I think is a very important thing. So we're worshiping, as we prepare to be a worshiper, we're really getting ourselves ready. We're washing ourselves, we're cleaning up, we're putting on the clothes ready for the wedding. And then he took me to John 4, 23, 24, when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. And she was obviously, you know, she had her own way of worshipping because she was a Samaritan woman. And he said, you know, you don't know who you worship. But he said very prophetically, and I believe these are the times, that he said the time is coming when people will worship God in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit. So I think we all know we can really only worship in a spiritual dimension. We can't just sing the words and sing happy, good songs, however warm and fluffy it means. We need to enter into that spiritual dimension. I was talking to one of my sons the other day. He never asks these questions. How can I get my brain out of the way, Mum, and move into the spiritual realm? And it just, this came out of my mouth, and this will resonate with a lot of you. I just said, Andrew, go and find the wardrobe, you know what I'm talking about, push through the coats, you know, there's several and they're heavy, but keep going, and there you'll find the spiritual dimension. And it might not be all sweetness and light, but you'll be there. And you know, we've got to press into the spiritual dimension. So we want to press in as we worship. Let's press in. And then that's talking about the bride being ready, worshiping in spirit and a very purity of worship, in truth, not pretend, not coming with loads of messed up lives and saying, we love you, Lord, and we're yours and we're clean and holy when we're obviously not. In other words, getting ourselves sorted before we come to worship. And then so we can be truthful about worshiping him. And then relationship. We can't worship God unless we even have a little bit of an inkling of who we're worshiping, can we? We can't say, I really love you, when we haven't actually, we can't feel that we really love him. And you know, there's that getting to know Father. When the Lord took me on a massive spiritual journey in the last sort of 7 years, it was very strange because he took me He showed me God the Holy Spirit. He introduced me to God the Holy Spirit. Then he introduced me to God the Father. And then Jesus the Son. I mean, I've been a Christian since I was 16. But I had to go through a whole new thing of understanding who these three people were and then put them together. So get to know God in our own personal way, in our own ways in which we do best. And then learn to recognize his voice. Because when we're in a gathering like this and we're going to be partaking in worship together, we're going to need to know which is his voice. Which is his voice, which is our voice. And indeed, I doubt it, but you know, which is the voice of the enemy? You have to learn to distinguish between the voices, because there's masses of voices going on at the moment. And, you know, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And then they follow, don't they? And I love seeing the sheep in the fields, and you just got to see the shepherd coming in, and they just go running, don't they? But they don't, they run the opposite direction, don't they, if somebody else goes into the field. So distinguish, excuse me, not only distinguish God's voice, but when we're in a gathering like this, distinguish when you hear from heaven, and as a lot of us do hear from God, and we're used to it. When you're in a group, learn to distinguish what God is saying to you personally in the worship. What is giving to you to share in a public space. And that's again quite tricky, and it requires confidence and getting out of the boat and trying it out. And this, Paul, isn't it? It's a safe place, a safe space to try out those things. So in the context of an evening worship time, which I know David and Paul and co are hoping to develop, to become much more free-flowing and where people all participate, how does that look? So I've just mentioned a few things. You know, if you're a musician, if you have a good ear, and there's loads of good musicians in this church, I'm realizing that, really good musicians. Never had that in the church I was before. And if you are a good musician, you've got a good ear, and you have a song coming into your head, use a song. Just start a song. We'll muddle along somehow. Start a song. Share pictures. Share visions. Prayers. People might say, oh, I've just got a prayer. Prayers can be incredibly prophetic. You can pray something which has a real anointing coming down on it. So pray out, but think of your prayer you're giving as a very kind of prophetic. The word of God is coming out through your breath on the prayer. And words of knowledge, things for other people. If you're a person who shares words of knowledge, you have something to share. That's, you know, I know we're going to go through these step by step probably over the next few months. Wisdom, prophetic words. In a setting like this, it's probably very good and wise to think about not teaching through your word you give. You know, don't teach a sermon. Leave that to the good teachers, of which I'm not. And I'm not a teacher. Or I'm not a preacher, whatever. I'm not a theologian. Don't try and teach and tell somebody what they should know through a prophetic word. That's a bit rude, really, isn't it? I just don't think, you know, that is not what God does. So we don't need to do it. So I'm just telling you how to give things in a nice, gentle way now. So don't teach. Don't say something you've been longing to say to somebody in the church. Don't say it through a prophetic word. The Lord says, you know, stop, blah, blah, blah. That's just damaging, that's not loving. And be honest. Learn to say things in honoring each other and loving. Say things in a loving way. You know, you could feel something. You could even have quite a strong word. Now, before you say it, think, now how can I say that so no one's going to be offended or no one's going to be hurt, but I'm still true to what God has said? And how can I say that with love? Love, love. So I think that's very, very important. And how can I say it with grace? And how can I build up people rather than pull them down? And how can I make them feel so good? I just want to make people really go out with their heads held high. So when you want to share things, share them in loving and encouraging ways, and maybe think a bit before. Maybe deliver differently in a softer way than what you've heard it. Because, you know, men particularly, don't they? They just hear like facts, don't they? They hear facts. Where we women, we get a bit fluffy, don't we? So if a man, for instance, hears something, he hears it as a straight down fact, and then he says it just like that, it actually, for people like me, it can actually sound a little bit offensive or a bit harsh. So you need to think, how can I wrap that up so the likes of Myrtle and thus are not horribly hurt? You know, how can I make it fluffy? So deliver it differently from how you've heard it, perhaps. Just going back again to musicians, if there are musicians and you brought an instrument, you know, use your instrument. Instruments can say things, and we can interpret them. I've sometimes heard people play an instrument. I've had an interpretation from that. So, if you just have a little line of a song, sing just that one line. It doesn't have to be the whole hymn. And I was at leading worship at Wildfire, two people have noticed, before Christmas, and I can't remember the speaker, it was really brilliant. It was about fire coming. And I think he said, oh, Myrtle, just come and play something at the end. So I started to play, and I was improvising or something, and then I found myself playing the most old-fashioned revival type of hymns. I hardly know them, like, oh, the blood of Jesus, and things I would never use. Never, except that was what God gave me, and I didn't shy away from. Well, I didn't actually know what I was playing to start off. I thought, this is familiar. What it did was actually bring a touch, an anointing of the old revivals. We felt it. I don't know who was there. We actually felt it, didn't we? It was powerful, and so the ethos of things and things of the past can be brought into the present. So don't always go with a traditional approach, but do if we want to. And finally, and we're going to do some kind of we're going to do this now. We're going to try this. Forward laughing. Finally, I've put expect the unexpected, because I think we sometimes forget that God is breath. Well, God is wind. You know, he blows around, and you know when you see leaves blow and you kind of think, oh, that's going to blow that direction, but actually it goes completely differently. You go chasing after something and then it just goes off in another direction, and I think that's how God is. He is unexpected, and if we expect the unexpected, he loves that. He just so loves that, because he says, yes, you're getting how I am. I'm not boxed. I can never be boxed. God can never be boxed. Well, we can try box him. We can put him in there. But in my experience, he doesn't actually work that way. And God loves to surprise us. What he loves to do is link up things. So, you know, somebody might share a verse. Somebody might have a song. Somebody might give a prayer. This is so obvious, I know. And then somebody might have a prophetic word, and you suddenly realize he has said, you know, sort of a whole paragraph to us through four different types of things. And it's amazing. It just confirms. So, you know, he loves to surprise us. He loves to link things up. He loves to take us out of our comfort zone. In fact, he wants us. All the big journeys in the Bible, people didn't just sort of sit at home, did they? They said, I hear you, God, yes, it's a fantastic vision. They did it, didn't they? They stepped, they did it. So always, if we're going on a journey together in learning to worship and worship in spirit and in truth, we need to be brave and step out. And the last thing I put was, God will not be boxed either by the way things have been done in the past, and he won't be boxed by our filters that we put. We have so many filters, don't we? They might be called fear or embarrassment. You know, there's so many words of filters that we could filter these words through. Let's learn to be bold and And that's really all I want to say. It's just an introduction, really. And so we're going to have we're going to worship together and do this. And I maybe just kind of encourage a few people to do things. I'm just going to kind of tease things out of us a little bit. And I'll just pray for us first. So Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God, you are Father, you are Son and your Spirit, and you love the worship of your people. You delight in the praises of your people. And then when we talk to you and we worship you, you talk to us back. That's the beautiful thing. Because when we, you know, when we talk to our friends or our brothers or sisters or our husbands or whatever, they don't just ignore us. They answer and they speak back, and you're better than any of those. So, Father, we expect you this evening as we worship you and we talk to you, we expect that you're going to speak back to us. Lord, I pray you'll release confidence and release that hearing. Lord, would you open our ears? Lord, would you unblock our ears? Declare an unblocking of ears in Jesus' name. And we just want to hear from heaven, because, not for selfish reasons, but because we want to move deeper, deeper into the river, Lord, like Ezekiel's vision. We don't want to just keep our feet in there. We want to go up to our waist and then up here, and until we're drowning, Lord. Drowning, Lord.